Before we move to basketball, we got Mark Dorison, the chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners, here in the studio to help wrap up the week. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing, Aaron?
Doing all right. So we've been sort of covering Silent Sam as the top story for today, not just the debate over the statue itself, which now you've got two more UNC departments weighing in on this, but also the new controversy over the way the UNC police are handling it. And we've had conversations about this with several people on the air, and we had, you know, the sort of a potentially legitimate concern about some violence breaking out. Not that any has yet, but you never know. But just a statement that came out from UNC. It's like, I've kept saying this in so many words, but they should, whatever their motivation is, they should own up to what it is. And I don't think their statement does.
No, I don't think so either. I think it is, it really seems backpedaling and obfuscation. I mean, the idea that they wanted to protect students or protect, you know, the people who were out there by and did that by sending undercover cops to infiltrate the protesters just really is, you know, it's hard to take seriously.
Mm-hmm.
If the concern was really that there was going to be some kind of threat to the students who were out there, it seems like, you know, the visual police presence that they have had out there is designed to do that. And so I think, I mean, I really feel like the university administration has either badly botched this thing from the beginning or really just has no interest in taking it on, which is, I suspect, the latter. But, you know, to say that they are concerned about this, to have sent a letter to the governor saying, you know, give us some guidance, now to have half a dozen departments, hundreds and hundreds of students have come out and said, you know, this is offensive. This is a monument to white supremacy. It's a harassment against anybody who believes in freedom and equality and racial justice. And for the university to just sort of, you know, at best wring their hands and at worst actually be apparently working covertly to undermine those efforts is it's disheartening.
Yeah. And I should say this, and part of the conversation here and sort of the pushback against protesters and people calling to take down the statue is, well, we don't want to whitewash history. Well, raising the statue was, in fact, a whitewashing of history. It was done in the first half of the 20th century in order to invent this narrative that was mostly false about the Civil War, and also to cover up the atrocities that were going on at the time. And I said this earlier today, but it bears repeating too. Today is the anniversary of the Wilmington riots in 1898,
which we
forgot about until very recently. And part of the act of forgetting was the raising of all of these statues.
That's exactly right. You know, the Wilmington race riot, 1898, it was, and I believe is, the only example of a coup, an overthrow of a properly elected government in United States history.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the culmination of, you know, a post-Reconstruction, reassertion of white supremacy across North Carolina, that these statues, most of which were put up around that time or after, I think Silent Sam was in the
19-teens,
was clearly meant as a signal to African Americans and any of their white allies that were left that that Jim Crow was firmly entrenched in mm-hmm. North Carolina. So it's especially frustrating, and you know, as a county commissioner, we struggle a lot with the continuing sweep of preemption by the state legislature. I think, as much as I hate to admit it, I think that oftentimes when we're discussing policy at the county level, we're doing it looking over our shoulder at the state legislature, and is there a chance that they'll come in and you know, retaliate against us for actions we've taken? We saw that with the school impact fees.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you know, I think the university, is the same way. Everyone is cowed by the idea that there will be retribution, either in the form of slashing budgets, like was done to the Attorney General's office, or really in changing policies to undercut local authority, like has been done in cities all across the state.
Speaking with Mark Dorison, Orange County Commissioner, so let's move from the statue that no one likes to the statue that people do like, which is the Orange County Veterans Memorial, which is in the process of going up now. We spoke with Fred Black about it last hour. There was the ceremony earlier today at the Southern Human Services Center, and you were there along with every single commissioner, I think?
Yes, all seven of us were out there. Yeah. It was a beautiful day. You know, a couple of dozen veterans in Orange County were there, and there was some lovely speeches, and there was a, you know, where the county has put up $15,000 matching donations. Their money is now starting to really roll in. They've gotten a couple of grants, and it's an exciting time, and it's a good reminder of, again, kind of the values that we all share. And so it was really great moment. Secretary of Veterans Affairs Larry Hall was out there and made comments and really gave a nice speech talking about the impact of veterans in North Carolina. And so it's something I think that is it's already a beautiful physical space, and when the memorial is completed, it's going to be really wonderful.
Fred Black said something last hour which was really striking and is sticking with me now, which is part of the reason for having the memorial in the first place and part of what they're doing in terms of getting out and raising awareness and funds is also to get people's information about their veteran status, because we don't have a comprehensive list of who is and who is not a veteran in Orange County and across the state. We've got a rough idea, but we don't have that comprehensive list, and it's just staggering, especially on today, which is Veterans Day, observe Veterans Day officially tomorrow, that is the one thing about that commitment that you make to go and serve your country, potentially to fight in a war, but to serve your country in the armed forces, that your country owes you something in return, and owes you something not just when you're in the service, but after. And if we don't even have a comprehensive list of who is a veteran, we can't even take that first step. So I think that, in addition to the memorial, is really significant too.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And as one of the speakers pointed out today too, it's the veterans, it's also their families and the sacrifices that they make. And I was actually thinking about it when I was out there this morning of, you know, sort of comparing, contrasting in my mind the difference between what we're trying to do with this monument and the Silent Sam statue, which sort of has this, you know, veneer of being some kind of memorial to some, you know, to some military sacrifice, but really is, in fact, was a manifestation of white supremacy. So it was a poignant moment.
Speaking with Mark Dorison, OrangeCountyNC.gov is the county's website if you want more information about county goings-on, Board of County Commissioners meetings upcoming. OrangeCountyVeteransMemorial.com is the website for the Veterans Memorial. I've got to wrap up in a second, but I got to ask you about this latest thing with the UNC Center for Civil Rights, which is this letter that was sent from the state bar, correct me when I get this wrong, state bar to the dean of the law school, Martin Brinkley, after the vote by the Board of Governors to ban the center from engaging in litigation, a letter saying, it's a three-page letter, but I'll just quote the money sentence here. The North Carolina general statutes prohibit individuals other than active members of the state bar from practicing law or providing or offering to provide legal services in North Carolina to other persons, firms, or corporations. The center is not a legal clinic, and it would require significant restructuring to qualify as a legal clinic. So it's kind of a warning letter, and I think letter of warning is the official terminology here, from the state bar to the law school dean about the Center for Civil Rights after the ability to practice litigation has been removed. So take on that, or explanation for
it? Yeah, I mean, so there was an anonymous complaint. Okay. Apparently you can make anonymous complaints to the bar. There was an anonymous complaint made in the summer while the Board of Governors was still coordinating its attack on the center. That was another broadside attack. I think personally, I mean, we don't know who made it, but I think it was motivated by the same hyperpartisanship that led to the Board of Governors attacks. The letters quoted many of the same things that the Board of Governors did. And so, you know, even though the Board of Governors has now already voted that the center is winding down, you know, my colleague and I are going to be out of work January 12th, the bar made this ruling, which has nothing to do with our authorization to practice law as individual lawyers, has nothing to do with the ethical, zealous representation we provided our clients. it has to do with a structuring thing about whether a corporation can practice law. And the university being a corporation and didn't go through the appropriate steps, apparently when the center was set up 17 years ago, the bar has now suddenly decided that that structure is not in accordance with its statutes. It's we're winding things down. There's a little bit of sort of salt in the wound kind of thing. I don't really know exactly what it is, but it was disappointing that that the bar had this reaction given where we are with the center, given that we're in the process of transitioning cases out, and given I know we're close on time, but the unauthorized practice of law statute is designed to prevent people who aren't lawyers from preying on the public. It's a public protection statute. Mm-hmm. And here, what everybody who's ever been represented by the Center for Civil Rights has been represented by licensed North Carolina lawyers. There's been no contention that they haven't been adequately or competently represented. And so it's real perversion of what the statute is designed to do, I think. But
work to reestablish the center is still going on.
Yes, we're in the process of transitioning all the cases now. And I'm hoping within the next 2 weeks we're going to know exactly what path we're going to be on. But the advocacy and the representation of clients and the struggle against these continuing attacks on civil rights will continue.
Mark Dorison, thank you so much.
You are welcome. It's my pleasure to see you as always.